You're listening to Hardwired with Jeff Wickwire. Here's what's coming up in today's edition.
Better that they had never heard the gospel than that they heard it and rejected it and went into apostasy, and not only apostasy, but took as many people with them into their own corruption and deception as they could. Because it happens to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed, who are wallowing in the mire.
As you wade the waters of life's illusions, nothing is more important to your faith than avoiding the world's ensnaring deceit. Today in his message, Pastor Jeff reminds you that if you cling to the world's illusions, you will be separated from eternal life with Jesus. The only path that this leads to is death and destruction. However, amidst these falsehoods, renewal begins. Step into a cleansing river, washing away all your stains. This revitalizing journey commences by surrendering your heart to Jesus. Well, let's join Pastor Jeff in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 as he continues his message, Faith's Contention.
Now verse 12, but these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they don't understand, and they will utterly perish in their own corruption. Now, again, these are the wicked that are headed for judgment. And I believe he's really zeroing in on last days wicked people, because they are particularly spoken of many times in the New Testament. What people will look like, what their attitudes will be, what their character will be in the last days. So, and they are apostates. They have forsaken God, forsaken Christ, forsaken the truth, and gone their own way. And they're compared to natural brute beasts. This means they're driven solely by natural instinct. They're like animals. Animals are instinctual. They don't conceptualize things and make decisions based on wisdom or not. They're simply instinctive. And he says these people, by the time they face judgment, they have gone so far away from God, so far down in their character, they're like a brute beast. They're just like a brute beast, like an animal. They're without reason. They don't have rational thought. They're no longer, they're more animal-like than human. Having traded divine revelation for human reasoning, these apostates end up abandoning common sense and logic for sheer nonsense. No more rational thought. And I would encourage you, read Romans 1. When we talk about these things, start around verse 18 and read Romans 1, the rest of Romans 1, and you will see what we're talking about. Because God turns the human race, or turns a certain civilization over, gives them up three different times in Romans 1. And the last time is to a reprobate mind. And what's a reprobate mind? It is a mind with no more reason, no more rational thought. You can't tell right from wrong, good from bad, light from dark, righteous from unrighteous anymore. Your mind is no good anymore. That's the reprobate mind. And that's what has happened to these people that are headed for judgment. They speak evil of dignitaries, very angels of God, and even God himself. They're ignorant of the fact that the unseen world exists, and they mock people who believe that it does exist. And they also mock the idea of Satan, demons, the existence of evil, all of which hold our world and them in bitter bondage. They don't believe in the devil, the very devil that's holding them in chains of darkness. They don't believe in him. And as predicted, we now live, think about it, it's amazing. We now live in a last days world of foolish mockers that rail against the authority of God, God's Son, Jesus Christ, and those who love him. Their day is coming, is Simon Peter's message. He tells us they will utterly perish in their own corruption. They'll die in their sin. Death is the great equalizer and humbler of all men, and these mockers will face death. And they will die in their sins. And then they'll face the God that they mocked. Peter goes on to describe further the lifestyle that accompanies this apostasy. Now again, he's talking about people who have totally forsaken the faith. They've walked away from Christ, walked away from God, deny Christ, deny the cross, the blood, the word of God, everything. They are totally apostate. They have renounced the things of God. And here's what it says in verse 13 about their resultant character. They will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots. They are blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you. Man, Peter is just getting down and dirty here. He's getting real. He is describing these people, and he's not pulling any punches. He's saying for the apostate, life is a great big party. They party hardy all the time. They live for pleasure, live for hedonism, live to satisfy the flesh. They have no concern about the normal constraints of time and duty. They carouse, they party, even in the daytime. Furthermore, there are spots and blemishes, and where are they spots and blemishes? Peter says, in your feasts, in your love feasts. They're coming to your love feasts, your church meals. They're eating the food prepared for the saints. They're coming to your gatherings, your get-togethers. You know, your the time everybody brings something, your potlucks, they're coming. And most Bible scholars believe that the feast Peter here is referring to were the Christians' love feasts. They got together all the time, they gathered for fellowship, and they would eat together and talk about the things of God. And that's where these apostates were starting to show up as spots and blemishes. They didn't care anything for the Christians in their hearts. They ate with them all the while inwardly mocking them. Peter calls them spots from a word meaning a stain. And blemishes points to the shame, the moral disgrace, the licentiousness of the false teachers. So again, he's really getting real here, getting down and describing what these false teachers and these apostates are doing, their brazenness, their total absence of any fear of God. The word carousing in their own deceptions means they're living in luxury. These false teachers were doing very well financially, and Peter wants us to know they were getting their money from false teaching, from teaching their apostasy, teaching things not in keeping with Christian orthodoxy, and they were getting rich. And he wants us to know this will not change through time. There's always going to be the apostates. There's always going to be the false teachers, and they're always going to be out there teaching what they teach, going for your wallet, going for your money. And Peter says, in reality, they're all enslaved to sin. Verse 14, having eyes full of adultery, and they cannot cease from sin. They can't stop sinning. And they entice in their sin, they target unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices, and they are accursed children. Not only are they slaves to the flesh, but they happily abandon themselves to the lust of the flesh, and at the same time, they're always looking to entice unstable souls, people that have not gotten well-grounded and well-rooted in the Christian faith. That's who they target, to deceive and to milk them of their money. The word entice has the idea of catching something by means of bait. They use the bait of smooth words, false promises, to allure others into sin. Now, you think about false teachers out there in our day. All over social media, TV, radio, books, magazines, you name it, they're everywhere. Think about them. They're smooth talkers. They do make false promises all the time. They'll look in the camera and promise you, you send your $20 in, God will give you $200 by the end of the month. Now, I'm just being real with you. We see this all the time. This kind of promise. And Peter is telling us they have a heart trained in covetous practices. They know how to practice covetousness. They know how to throw the bait and catch you with false promises in order to get your money. That's how they do it. Send in your 20, God will give you 200. Send in your 100, God's going to give you 500 by, you know, this time next year or this time next month, or, well, it's February 21st, send in your $21 and God's going to give you 21 blessings. I mean, they give you all kinds of scammy kind of, you know, fake promises. And this is exactly, there's nothing new under the sun. Peter says, this is what they did back in his day. This very kind of thing, covetous practices. Unstable souls are their target. People who don't know any better, who don't know their Bible, they fall prey to them. And notice what they're most skilled at, they have a heart trained in covetous practices. They know how to empty your wallet based on false promises. And they do it very well. And so you get to know your Bible enough to see what they're doing and you don't fall for it. Now, I believe in giving. You know I believe in giving. I give. And I give all the time. I give regularly. But I give very carefully. I'm very careful what I give to. Is it going to spread the gospel? Or is it going to make some preacher even richer and enlarge the square footage of his mansion? I'm not going to give to that. But I am going to give to the gospel going forth. I'm going to give to people being saved. I'm going to give to genuine missions work, feeding children. I'm going to give to that kind of thing. But you've got to be very careful these days because these false teachers are out there and they are good at what they do. They are cursed children, Peter says. And Jesus said once until he returns, he said this. He said, until I return, the tares, the false Christians, are going to grow up right alongside the wheat, the real Christians. So we've got to keep that in mind. These apostates often exist right alongside true believers. They look like the real thing, sound like the real thing, but they're not. Now, next, Peter compares them to a famous Old Testament sellout. He's really going to drive home his point now. In verse 15, he's going to talk about a guy named Balaam. He says, they have forsaken the right way and gone astray, and following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. He loved the money his unrighteous ways brought to him. Now, Balaam was a real mix of a character. He had some knowledge of the true God, but he was also known as a soothsayer. And that means a person who predicts the future by magic, also known as a fortune teller or a diviner. Now, you know the story. Balak, the king of Moab, wanted Balaam to curse God's people as they traveled through his land. Israel had grown so large, millions of them, that foreign kings were horrified, terrified of them taking over their kingdom. So Balak hired Balaam to curse the children of Israel as they went through the land of Moab. Now, Balaam at first only spoke prophetic words over Israel. He couldn't speak evil. When Balak realized he was about to lose the large financial blessing the king of Moab had promised, Balaam sold out. When Balaam started to realize, hey, I keep prophesying good over Israel, I keep speaking good things over them, I'm not going to get anything from Balak. He's not going to pay me anything because he paid me to curse them, not bless them. So he turned and he did something very evil. And this is what we call the way of Balaam. He told the king, look, you can't conquer God's people with a curse, but you can ruin them with corruption. And he then advised the king to send the Moabite women. Think about this. This was so sinister. Send the Moabite women among the men of Israel to seduce them sexually and lure them into idolatry. Then Balaam said, God himself will judge them. Wow, this guy was wicked. God himself will judge them because of what you have made, because of the stumbling blocks you put in front of them. This is called the doctrine of Balaam. You read about it in Revelation 2:14. It worked, and God's people fell, and God did judge them. And later, Balaam was killed for what he had done. And this, says Peter, is what the apostates are all about. Like Balaam, watch this now, the money is more important than God. The money is more important than integrity. the money is more important than a true, authentic Christian life. Wow. Now, Peter points out how bound Balaam really was. Balaam was so bound, when a donkey began to speak and warn him, he started beating the donkey instead of turning from his sin. That's how deceived he really was. But same way, no rebuke from God can stop the apostates from their materialistic drive. Money is their God. When you listen to these false teachers, every other minute, money this, money that, money the other. It's all about money, how to make money, how God wants to give you all kinds of money, how God wants you rich, how God wants you to have this, that, and the other. It's all materialism, and it is something that God's favor is certainly not on. Now, next, Peter uses powerful metaphors to describe the false teachers. He's not going to leave them alone. He's not going to let up until we really understand these false teachers are bad news. They were then, and they are now. He says in verse 17, these are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Like dark clouds that never bring rain, these false teachers may promise many refreshing things to those who listen to them, but like a dark cloud that never gives rain, they never deliver the refreshing that they promise. Never. And like an empty well, you go down into it to get water, and your bucket comes up empty. They look like they can give you water. They promise to give you water, but it's an empty well. They are illusions. They preach illusory things. They make promises they can never fulfill. They make promises that will never be honored by God. They make promises God didn't make. So you never get what they tell you you're going to get. Peter describes their eternal fate as a mist of darkness, eternal, endless darkness. And then he describes the empty words of these false teachers. Verse 18, you get the idea that he wants us to understand how dangerous these false teachers are? No doubt about it, because he is not going to let up until we walk away going, got it, Peter. These guys and gals are bad news. These apostate, these that teach unorthodox messages that are not from the Bible, all right? When they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure you through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. So again, what's their target? Those that have heard the gospel and they have escaped. They've gotten saved, but that's their target before you get roots, before you get grounded. Great swelling words describes what you would call empty talk, high-sounding nonsense. These false teachers are, as one commentator put it, intoxicated by the exuberance of their own verbosity. I so like that. I had to copy it. I'm going to say it again. They're intoxicated by the exuberance of their own verbosity. In other words, they love hearing themselves talk. They love to hear themselves speak, even though what they say is devoid of truth. They just like hearing themselves talk. They're enamored with themselves, not Christ. They're not only empty words, but they're alluring words. They're designed to appeal to the carnal appetites of their hearers, i.e., money, stuff, riches, materialism, wealth. They hammer on those things. But when you look at your New Testament, you don't see Paul, Peter, James, John, or Jude ever hammering on those things. They're always talking about spiritual riches. They're always talking about laying up treasures for yourself in heaven, like Jesus did. They never harp on, preach on, teach on how we can get richer with material things. That was never their message. So they allure. Their words are empty and they're alluring. They appeal to the flesh. And they promise liberty. Verse 19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he's brought into bondage. Whatever overcomes you, that's what you're in bondage to. That's what you serve. So on the good side, if Christ overcomes you, That's who you're going to serve. You're going to serve whatever dominates your life. And here, these false teachers have been overcome by corruption. They are slaves of it. They're promising their listeners liberty, but they can't give what they don't have because they don't have liberty. They're a slave to corruption. And this is the message of most cults. Most cults promise liberty, but the teachers themselves are all bound up. You can't give what you don't have. These false teachers can't deliver liberty when they themselves are the slaves of corruption, and that's what they are. So Peter now warns new Christians of the consequences of listening to them. Verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, now this is you, this is me, if after we've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we again become entangled in what they are offering, our latter end is worse for us than the beginning. We're going to end up in more bondage than we were in before we got saved. These are strong words. And this is why every single letter in the New Testament but one, only one, Book of Philemon, every other letter in the New Testament, in one place or another, warns against false teachers. Because when you fall into the net of a false doctrine, a false message, a false theology, a false Christ, a false salvation, it can ruin your whole life. So if you've tasted of Jesus and then become ensnared in false teaching, it's not going to go well. Not going to be good. Not going to be good for you. So this is why here at Turning Point, we harp and harp and harp on knowing the Word of God better than you know any other book in the world. Know your Bible. Now Peter closes his warning with a somber word to these apostates who had heard of the way of righteousness, but they rejected it. Verse 21 and 22. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. Better that they had never heard the gospel than that they heard it and rejected it and went into apostasy, and not only apostasy, but took as many people with them into their own corruption and deception as they could. Because it happens to them according to the true proverb. A dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed, who are wallowing in the mire. So in other words, let me just paraphrase this. They are foul within, like a dog returning to its vomit, and they are filthy without, like a pig rolling around in the mud. That's the future for any apostate and any that follow their teaching. So why is it important for us to see these things? Why are we teaching this? Why do we go through these things? Why did Peter spend so much time writing about it and the other apostles? He loved us enough to tell us the truth about the dangers of false teaching and teachers and the ruin their message will bring. It matters who you allow to speak into your life. Amen.
In the dance of your faith journey, have you ever doubted your faith? Have you or someone you know rebuked God completely? If you're struggling with your faith and considering leaving it all behind, Pastor Jeff urged you to turn around and run from apostasy. As we all get older and older, leaving God behind will always be a trendy thing to do. Leave the world's lies behind and let God's word be your armor. Embrace His calling and let Him pull you from the pit of despair.
Hi, everybody. This is Jeff Wickwire, host of the Hardwire broadcast, and I'm so excited to tell you about this month's offer for you, our listeners. For a gift of $40 or more, we want to send you the beautiful new Bible put out by Tyndale called Immerse, the Reading Bible. Our offer contains a beautiful, reads-like-butter New Testament featuring the New Living Translation. The Immerse Bible New Testament contains no chapters, no verses, just like the original manuscripts in which the Bible was written, so that it reads more like a story. It also comes with an 8-week reading plan, maps, and a helpful summary of every New Testament book. So if you want to try a really unique approach to your daily Bible reading, just go to hardwire.org and click Donate Now to give your gift of $40 or more. We'll send you the Immerse Bible immediately. And thanks once again for your support of Hardwire. Every dollar we receive will go toward reaching the world with God's Word.
Who are authority figures to you? It's safe to say that we've all had a boss, political figure, or parent that we don't respect. In a culture that detests authority more and more, it can be hard to be the only person in the room praying for a president. Next time with Pastor Jeff, he reminds you that despite any differences, God's calling is for you to respect the leaders placed in your life. Embody the light of Jesus in all of your interactions, fostering God's love in your community. Thanks for taking time to be with us today as we studied God's Word. If you'd like to hear more teachings from Pastor Jeff, visit hardwired.org. On behalf of Pastor Jeff and the entire production team, we invite you to join us again right here on Hardwired.